Don't move. You're listening to Harpy Hour.
We just want to share another awesome podcast with you first.
So check these guys out and stay tuned for this week's episode of Harpy Hour.
Evil can lurk in any shadow, and it sometimes walks in light, stalking and peering around corners. More often than not, evil is a person you know, a person that you'd never suspect of being involved intimately with a heinous crime. Sometimes it's the stranger you talk to at a tavern, or the mother of a beautiful baby. Sometimes nature itself can seem to be looking for blood. Worse Than Fiction is a true horror podcast that not only covers horrific crimes, but other truly terrifying situations in unfettered detail. You can find Worse Than Fiction on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else. I'll warn you, though, I don't spare any details. It's not for everyone.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Harpy Hour.
The harpiest of every hour of the day.
It's different. I don't like it.
I don't know.
I was adding to it.
We don't like it.
It's improv.
Vetoed.
I feel like Abed and you just made a slight change and it is throwing my whole world
out of
orbit.
Never again.
Have you watched Mythic Quest?
No, I was just thinking about that today. I want to finish rewatching Community. I'm almost done. And then I'll transition to Mythic Quest.
Yeah, I just finished watching Mythic Quest. I don't think there's going to be a season three, so it's just two seasons. Yeah, but Abed's character is just totally different. And
I love it.
It's interesting. He's a very good actor. He could just pivot like that.
Trey and Abed in the morning. Well, I'm in the middle of re-binging Schitt's Creek because I am researching. It's very important. I'm researching for my friends.
What? Who are you?
Who are you?
Who is researching?
Oh, I'm fucking Tracy. How do you not know this by now?
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph, and it was unclear.
Whatever. Anyway, my friend is having a baby in October. And
this is our podcast where we share ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment. Go.
I was going to say, this is our podcast where Tracy's about to share a story about Schitt's Creek.
I hate both of you.
Just fold it in, Tracy. Just fold it in.
I'm trying.
I can't be any clearer.
Trying. I can't show you everything, David. Well, can you show me one thing? Anyway, I'm rewatching Schitt's Creek because my friend Kelly, who is having a baby, the theme of her baby shower is Schitt's Creek. Oh, bebe. And it's spectacular. I am so excited. I was just texting with my other friend who is co-hosting it. And we are talking about having Herb Ertlinger's fruit wine. And
is it just going to be fruit juice?
It's going to be sangria. And then we're going to have like some non-alcoholic options and label it. We like the wine, not the label. We have some games that we're going to play, like Sleepy Mommy, which I don't know if you guys remember that from the show.
I don't remember that one.
It's when Jocelyn had a baby shower.
Right. And David came up with a game that was that he played with Moira when they were growing up. And it was throwing benzos into her mouth.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that she would get sleepy. They played it with breath mints at the baby shower, but it was called Sleepy Mommy. So that's happening. And then there's going to be a mix and match of Alexis stories. So like match the location with Alexis's story about what she did there.
What? Where was the place? Who was the celebrity? And
exactly.
What did they do?
It's like exactly. Clue. You should make a whole board game just like Clue.
Exactly. PowerPoint. So that it would reveal.
No, I think this should be a board game. I'm going to patent this shit. And be like,
okay. That's
in the Hamptons with Prince whoever, and then like the event.
Well, there was this whole like thing with me and Prince Harry, like a will they or won't they. I love it so much.
Listeners, I hope you're Schitt's Creek's fans so you can appreciate this.
I know. And we're going to put a thing on the food table that says, nom nom for you, David. Nom nom for us, David. I mean, we're going to have a fold in the cheese plate, which I'm very excited about.
Just fold it in.
Just fold it in.
I can't be any clearer.
What do you mean?
Just fold it in.
I don't know how to fold broken cheese.
I should rewatch that show. It was very good.
It definitely holds up still.
I mean, it ended like 3 years ago, right? It's not that old.
No, it ended
more recently.
Like, it was like a year and a half ago. But like on the second rewatch, it's even better. Like, I love it so much. Anyway.
It's been a while since you like hosted a good theme party, hasn't it?
At my house, yes.
Well, it's been a pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, in general, I feel like, you know, we used to do so many theme parties back when we were all in the DC area.
Right.
And then I think that, like, even when we're all in DC, that started to taper off.
We should have a theme party when we go to Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
Snow bunnies.
Snow bunnies.
All of my snow gear is in New Jersey. Am I going to need it in Salt Lake City? Listeners, we're doing a reunion
of our friend group
in November in Salt Lake City. It's going to be cold.
There's going to be a hot tub. There's going to be
It's going to be fine. Yes. Everyone's fine.
You will find me in the hot tub or by the fireplace.
Oh, my God. Hawaii's made you soft.
It's thinned my skin.
Well, Steph, I think you've got a story to share with us today.
Oh, shit. We're doing something.
Yeah, it's not our private phone call.
A little thing called our side job.
LOL.
I do have something to talk about today.
Okay.
And it's
That's
called,
a relief.
Yes. My segment is called...
That's not how it is.
Is that literally your teaser?
No, it's just donut, yeah. That's it.
Okay. Are we talking about Jaws?
Maybe.
We're talking about Jaws!
It's shark related. I know that.
Shark bait. Boo-ha-ha.
You guessed it. Today we're talking about sharks.
Yay!
Specifically...
Just broad sharks.
No. Yep. Specifically, Jersey sharks.
You know who loves sharks?
Like... The sharks and the jets?
No. Who loves sharks, Tracy's?
My maid of honor.
Oh. A lot of people are really interested in sharks.
She wanted to be a marine biologist before she became a pharmacist.
I feel like I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was a kid. I feel like everyone has that thought at some point in time. Or not a lot of people do.
Yeah. Guess who became a marine biologist?
Boom. I mean, you're an oceanographer. Isn't that different?
My concentration was in biology.
You have pointed out to me before that marine biology is different from oceanography.
My oceanography degree is supposed to cross all of the disciplines, but my concentration was biological.
All right. So Liz is going to be interrupting this segment multiple times, probably.
Yep.
I did not specialize in sharks.
She's going to be insufferable. Continue.
My intent was to time this episode with Shark Week.
I was going to say, it's coming up.
But I done fucked up because I thought it was in August, but apparently it's in July, so...
It's usually in
August. Shark Week is whenever you want it to be.
Live every week like it's Shark Week.
As of this recording, I think Shark Week starts in like 4 days.
What?
But by the time this airs, Shark Week will be over.
That's really early. That can't be right. I'm going to
I looked it up online. It said July 11th.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
I thought it was in August.
It's definitely in August because I started sleeping with this guy during Shark Week. We would watch Shark Week together and then hook up.
Tracy's into shark porn.
Yeah. And then I was like, what's my excuse going to be when Shark Week is over? I can't just like come over and hook. I need some kind of veneer for... going over to hook up with
friends.
Them.
Would it help if I thrashed? Anyway, we're going to hop into the Wayback Machine and visit the year 1916.
When sharks were invented.
Yes, the dawn of sharks.
If this ends with sharks being robots, I'm going to be so mad.
Laser sharks.
Sharks aren't real.
Sharks with laser beam.
Let's just continue with all the pop culture shark references we can throughout.
Baby like shark. Do, do,
do, do, okay, not that one.
Baby shark. Do, 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 do,
nope.
Do, do.
Can we mute her?
Guys, we're going to need a bigger episode.
They're sharks.
So understanding of sharks before 1916 was kind of based just on like guesswork and assumptions rather than actual science.
Oh, this is making me think of the bird migration. Like, we don't know where birds go.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing. We know that they are fish with teeth. That's it. So scholars doubted that a shark in the temperate waters of the northeastern U.S. would ever fatally injure a human being, at least not without like direct provocation. And they can pretty much considered like sharks in this area just to be like totally harmless. So even before this, in 1891, just like for shits and giggles, this millionaire named Herman Ulrichs offered $500 as a reward, which today is 15 grand. I guess if you're a millionaire, it's NBD, to anyone that could show proof of a human being bit by a shark north of North Carolina. I don't know why that was his point, but I guess that's where the temperate quote unquote waters are to him. And he was like, someone show me evidence and I'll pay you money. And no one ever claimed that prize. Scientists thought that like the jaws of a shark were not powerful enough to sever a human leg in a single bite, or possibly not even strong enough to break human bones. And to this, New Jersey said, hold my beer.
Sure.
So in the summer of 1916 in New Jersey, there was like this terrible heat wave going on. There's also like this polio epidemic or whatever. So people were just like,
whatever.
Yeah, we just need like a summer off to kind of just chill and relax and forget our troubles.
Sure.
And so everyone went down the shore.
Yep.
Down the shore.
Down the shore. Not to the shore, not to the beach. They went down the shore.
Yep.
That's how you do it. On Saturday, July 1st, 1916, 28-year-old Charles Epting Van Sant was on vacation with his family in Beach Haven, New Jersey. And he decided that he and his dog were going to take a quick swim before dinner. And so he swam out into the ocean. And then other swimmers in the area started hearing him shouting. But they all were like, ah, he's playing with his dog. He's calling out to his dog. Whatevs.
Okay.
But he wasn't shouting to get his dog's attention. He was shouting because of the big old shark that was actively eating his leg.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
But is the dog okay?
Yeah, but what about the dog?
The dog was okay.
Do we have an update on the dog?
By all accounts that I had read, no one mentioned any injury to the dog.
Okay. Well, that's a relief.
Yeah. A lifeguard and a bystander eventually realized, like, oh, something's wrong. And they, like, went in to rescue him. When they recovered him, they found that his left thigh was, quote, stripped of its flesh.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
His femoral artery was severed, and they dragged him into the shore, and they claimed that the shark, like, followed them as they dragged them in. Unclear if they, like, went out on, like, a little canoe, or if they, like, swam out there.
Yeah, like, how far out was this kid?
I didn't write that down, but not, like, not terribly far.
But especially not that far if I have my dog. Like, I'm not going to have my dog go out deep, like, over its head.
Don't sharks, like... They think that we're seals. That's why they bite us. Like, and then they're alarmed when it's not a seal and they like spit us out.
I think that from my infinite knowledge of shark from Shark Week,
sure.
They often think that we are seals or just food in general because they just see something that floating on the top of the water that's mm-hmm. big enough that could be food.
Yeah, and then they're like, fuck, it's broccoli, and they spit it out because it's not what they were expecting.
But I think they still... I mean, it's still
blood and flesh.
Flesh. Yeah. It's still food. I think they still are fine eating it once they've got it.
I mean, if it's there.
Again, from my infinite knowledge of Shark Week, they're also like, quote unquote, investigatory bites or something like that, where they just like do a little nibble and then they're like, ah, no thanks. And they swim away. That's like when you get like
taste,
a
sample.
Testing the water.
So like I've heard of people getting like a little like tiny chomp on like their hand or foot or something, but then they don't actually get like bitten off or fully attacked. They just get a little nibble and then like the shark swims off because they're like, eh, no thank you. But like he found thigh and apparently thigh is delicious. So he chomped away at him and supposedly, I read in multiple places, followed him to shore.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
All right.
They managed to carry him into the hotel manager's office. Why? I don't know. Laid him down on a desk again. Why? I don't know. But he died of blood loss before they could get medical attention.
Oh. Hmm.
And this was the first of 5 shark attacks in New Jersey in the span of 12 days.
Oh, man.
So, at this point, the beaches remained open. I mean, the 4th of July was coming up, so...
Okay.
You can't close the beaches on the holiday.
I mean...
Is this what Jaws is based on?
Sounds like it, right?
Is this Amity Island?
We'll get to that later, but some people believe that the story heavily influenced Jaws. I mean, you can already see the parallels. Some beaches began putting up these like steel wire mesh fencing like in the water.
Okay.
In order to keep the sharks out of the bathing areas. But like generally people were unconcerned. They're like, this is no big deal. Like, it's a fluke, whatever.
Okay.
Sea captains that were coming in from like New York or coming into New York and into the Newark area were reporting seeing like many large sharks swimming off the coast of New Jersey, but nobody seemed to like think that was a problem because after all, like sharks are harmless. Like this was just like an accident. The media at this point was kind of like reluctant to even admit this was a shark at all. Like the New York Times was Yeah, the New York Times said that Van Sant was, quote, badly bitten in the surf by a fish, presumably a shark.
Oh, my goodness.
Unspecified fish.
I mean, it could have been a goldfish. It could have been maybe he was hit by a boat or a comet. Like, there's really no way to know.
Asteroid.
We don't have pictures. We didn't catch the thing. So it could have been the Kraken.
I don't know that there's no pictures. There could be pictures. I don't know.
I'm saying if they had pictures, then they would say it was a shark.
I'm saying they have pictures of him, I'm sure. Yes. Didn't happen.
We don't have pictures of sharks. We don't know what they look like. Nobody knows. What is a shark even?
But I mean, this guy's leg was bitten off. Like, of course it was a fucking shark.
Could have been like an orca whale.
Could have been. They're known to inhabit the New Jersey waters.
You know what? I'm on the media side now.
Could have been giant squid.
Mainstream media.
Could have been a volcano. Nobody knows really what happened. The state fish commissioner, say that 5 times fast.
No, thank you.
Of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Who was also a former director of the Philadelphia Aquarium. He spoke to the media and claimed that what actually happened was the shark was going after the dog and grabbed Van Sant by mistake. How could he possibly know that? I don't know.
It's obvious shark behavior, Steph. Everybody knows that.
Textbook.
Sharks are known to prey on dogs.
Textbook shark behavior.
This is what he said. Despite the death of Charles Van Sant and the report of 2 sharks being caught in the vicinity recently, I do not believe there is any reason why people should hesitate to go in the water at the beaches for fear of man-eaters. The information in regards to the sharks is indefinite, and I hardly believe that Van Sant was bitten by a man-eater.
Really?
Because he's a man who literally got eaten.
The man-eater.
I swear to God, you're just reading the plot of Jaws.
It seems like it, right?
We're in the denial stage.
She's on IMDb just reading.
Yes, I have the script in front of me. He goes on, Van Sant was in the surf playing with his dog, and it may have been that a small shark had drifted in at high water. It was marooned by the tide. Being unable to move quickly and without food, he came in to bit the dog and snapped the man in passing. Oopsie doodle.
Womp.
Trying to eat your dog. I apologize, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could anyone like possibly assume this? Like, how can you be inside the mind of a shark and be like, clearly he was going for the dog? Overall, he was just like downplaying the danger of sharks to humans. And I know that shark attacks are like rare, sharks obviously don't like hunt humans.
Sure.
But we can't pretend that this is like an impossibility. Like, let's call a spade and a shark a shark. The 4th of July went off without a hitch. But 2 days later, on July 6th,
I was going to say the 6th of July.
The 6th of July.
Mm-hmm.
In Spring Lake, New Jersey, 27-year-old Charles Bruder, who was the bell captain at a local hotel, he was swimming about 78 Tracy's offshore.
Roughly.
Which, in layman's terms, is 130 yards.
Okay.
People began hearing screams, and a woman notified a lifeguard that a red boat had capsized.
Okay.
So the lifeguard goes out in a canoe to help this other canoer who had seemed to have flipped over, only to realize that the red in the water was not a boat, but a big old pool of blood. A shark had bitten Bruder in the abdomen, and then it had severed both of his legs.
I really thought you were going to say ass there.
No.
Neither is ideal.
No. Abdomen, not ass. Neither one. You don't want it.
Yeah.
The lifeguard said that he saw Bruder get dragged underwater twice, so presumably like once for each leg.
Oh.
Yeah. Supposedly his last words were, "A shark bit me, bit my legs off."
I mean, oh, his last words.
Tell him the truth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, so,
spoiler, he didn't make it. They get him onto the canoe.
Well, the fact that you said last words indicates
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And then the media is like, "We don't know it was a shark."
Yeah.
Self-reporting is...
A shark bit me. Did it?
Are we sure? Are we sure you weren't just like tangled in a fishing net or something?
Some gaslighting, victim blaming shit right there.
Right. I mean, that's the part that like is just bonkers to me is the whole like response after each episode of it's a fish. It's a rogue fish. We don't know what happened.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to the man in the pool of blood. Like,
yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, spoiler, didn't make it. Didn't even make it to shore, sadly. After the second attack, the media became a little bit more sensational this time around. So the newspapers were reporting about it, like, on the front page as far, like, all across the country. Like, even in, like, San Francisco, it was on the front page. And people began to panic this time.
Okay.
In New Jersey, resort owners saw, like, a huge drop in business. They lost $250,000 in tourism revenue, which today is $5.9 million.
That's not great.
No. Sunbathing in some areas of New Jersey declined by as much as 75%, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me because you do that on the land, but...
Yeah, but, like, you assume that you dip in briefly...
Yeah, I guess maybe they're going to pools instead.
Cool down. And so, yeah, it's like, why go there at all then?
Yeah. Or maybe they're just afraid they're going to see someone else get bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, see somebody die.
Yeah. Seems like it's a possibility. Shark sightings across the mid-Atlantic at this time increased. And this part here is, for some reason to me, was vaguely reminiscent of the Emu Wars, because we're getting a little ridiculous here. Men went out in armed motorboats to patrol for sharks. So they would just like go out on these boats armed with what, I'm not sure, I guess a bunch of guns, and just like patrol.
Did they ask for military help?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I get the impression that's just a bunch of like men with guns, like nothing official, I'm not sure, just like went out and just like zipped back and forth across the water along the beach, just like with their guns looking for sharks. Though I would argue if you shot a shark with a gun and made it bleed, would that not attract more sharks?
Yeah. Are they attracted to each other?
I think they're just attracted to blood in general, no?
I have no idea.
Would a shark eat a shark if that shark was dead or dying?
I suppose possibly.
On July 8th of that year, men on one of these armed boats at Spring Creek Beach claimed that they chased off an animal that was probably a shark. Unconfirmed. It sounds like they just saw like some kind of big animal in the water and scared it off.
Okay.
Also on July 8th, lifeguard Benjamin Benjamin claimed to have beaten off a 12-foot shark with an oar. And so after his claim of like, I saw a giant ass shark and I beat it away with an oar, most of the beaches in the area pretty much just closed down completely at this point. So unlike Jaws, they finally did decide to close the beaches. Also on July 8th, the Museum of Natural History hosted a press conference with three scientists. They were Frederick Augustus Lucas, John Treadwell Nichols, and Robert Cushman Murphy. Too many names. I did not dive too deep into these guys. I didn't have time.
Sure.
But they were all noted to be ornithologists, which is a bird expert.
I was going to say, that's bird. That's not helpful.
That seems, applicable.
One of the three, Nichols, was also listed as an ichthyologist. So we got one ichthyologist and then overall three ornithologist, ichthyologist, fish expert. So only one of these guys actually studied fish, and they were the ones assigned to talk to the public about this. They tried to calm the public down by telling everyone that a third attack was highly unlikely, though they also admitted that they were surprised that a first attack even occurred. So I don't know how much that actually comforts anybody.
Yeah, that doesn't seem great.
I mean, two attacks in, what is it, 4 days or something like that? I would not be getting in the water myself, personally.
No.
Nicholas, the only ichthyologist, was the one to advise people like, hey, it's just safest to swim close to shore and just like within the netted areas. Mm-hmm. The others were just like, eh, it's no big deal, whatever. The bird guys, you know.
Famous last words. Mm.
A shark bit me.
Bit my legs off.
Oh, God.
Oh, those are going to be my last words, regardless of my circumstance.
Regardless of how you go down.
Like, you'll be on your deathbed at, like, 90, dying from, I don't know, being 90. And you're going to be like, a shark bit me. A shark bit me, and that really hurt.
Charlie.
The first two guys were named Charles.
Ooh.
Now let's jump ahead to 4 days later, July 12th. A sea captain named John Cottrell was ambling home after a bountiful morning of fishing, and he crossed a bridge over the Matawan Creek when he spotted what he estimated to be an 8-foot shark in the water, and it was heading inland, like up the creek, inland.
Up the cape. No, you don't go up the cape.
You don't go up a cape. You go down to the. You go down the down cape. The you shore, go down the shore. You go up the creek.
Yes,
crick, crick,
crick,
creek. I'm gonna call it a crick.
Crick is how the Erieites.
That,
would say
yeah,
it.
That was in Tracy's Erie special content.
Yes, the Erieites
on
would say
Patreon.
Crick. Yep.
Yeah. So go sign up for Patreon to listen to that. So this guy tried to warn people in town, like, hey, there's a shark in the creek. And they were all like, you're nuts, man. We're like 11 miles inland. Sharks don't go in creeks. Like, you saw something else.
Feels like this is going to come back to bite them.
Literally.
But dumb.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hilarious.
Later that same day, a group of boys and their dog, always the dogs, decided to go swimming in the Matawan Creek in Matawan, New Jersey, an area called Wyckoff Dock.
Okay.
And they spotted what they thought was a, quote, old black weather-beaten board or weathered log in the water.
This feels like it's not going to be a log.
Dunna.
Dunna.
Dunna. A dorsal fin cut through the water. Dun 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 dun.
Very dramatic.
This yeah, is. Right. I'm painting a picture here with my words.
It's true.
So they see the fin. They all try to scramble to get out of the water, but 11-year-old Lester Stillwell was not fast enough.
Oh no! Not Lester.
Sidebar: have you ever met a kid named Lester?
No.
No.
That's so weird.
That's an old man name, right? Like, I feel like Lester's just appear as old man.
It's an old man name now because...
Because in 1916...
They were all... yeah. Kids' names a century ago.
It's like exactly. Karens. Like, Karens are not born. There's no such thing as a baby Karen. They just, like, appear.
They appear, you know? In the wilderness.
Right. They apparate.
Yes.
You become a Karen. You earn a Karen.
Right. And I feel like by the same token, you earn a Lester when you're an old man.
Yeah.
Not 11.
It's a fair assessment. So Lester's dead.
Yeah. So, well, not yet. But
oh, no.
Back to the horrific story. The shark pulled him underwater. The rest of the boys ran to town to get help. And they returned to the creek with a group of adult men.
Okay.
The adult men were like, there's not a shark in the creek. Like, this is stupid. Like, you kids are ridiculous. Lester probably had a seizure in the water. So they decided to, like, divide the area up, and they all just dove in to search for Lester. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, this dun, doesn't dun, sound dun, like dun, a good dun, plan. Dun, dun.
One man, 24-year-old Watson Stanley Fisher, located Lester's body and tried to bring him to shore. While he was swimming in, with all the townspeople looking on, including his sweetheart.
Oh, no.
He felt a chomp on his right thigh.
You mean he also had a seizure?
He also had a seizure.
He's carrying a bloody body. Like, yeah, that makes you a fucking target.
There's no shark in the creek.
Oh, right.
Sharks are harmless.
Even if there was one, it wouldn't hurt you.
Sharks are friends, not food.
The dog probably attracted the shark, as we know, as we've learned.
Yes. Yes.
So he suddenly found himself fighting for his life, and in the process of his struggle, lost Lester's body.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say lost his legs and shouted, "A shark bit my legs off." I'm just never going to get over that.
A shark bit me. Bit me in the leg. And that really hurt.
Charlie.
Oh, was the shark also named Charlie?
Yes, everyone's named Charlie. Charlie and Lester.
Oh, wait, what was this guy's name? Oh, Watson. That's a stupid name. Watson Stanley Fisher.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Fisher. Oh.
I hate it. I'm ignoring that.
Oh my God. We call it fishing when you go get fish.
Uh-huh.
Do sharks call it humaning when they go eat humans?
Well, but they're trying to get seals, so it's probably sealing.
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 Do they have words for us?
Do they have words?
You know, the shark is probably a big sealing fan.
I mean, sharks don't... Oh, my God.
No.
It's so stupid.
I'm crying.
I hate you. Okay. I don't think sharks have any kind of vocalizations to communicate with each other, let alone
I'm
words
sure
like
they communicate.
Sealing.
I just don't know.
Not
how.
Verbally.
Do Prove it.
Vocal cords. Do sharks have vocal cords? Liz, you're the marine biologist.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right
the
now.
The fuck kind of marine biologist are you?
The worst kind.
The micro marine biologist. Specialized in crabs and barnacles, okay?
Well, at the top of this episode, you're like, I'm a marine biologist, so...
That is not how you represented yourself, Elizabeth.
So, Fisher was pulled out of the water, and his leg was all chewed up, his femoral artery also severed, sure. Brought to a local hospital, but did not make it.
Nope.
Lester's body was recovered 150 feet upstream 2 days later. His ankle was chewed off, his entire thigh was mangled, and pretty much the only parts of his body that were not chewed up were his face and his right leg.
So sharks can't make any noise. They use body language to communicate, such as opening their jaws, nodding their heads. This description makes me think of like secret agents that are just using hand signals.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
or like the coaches at the bases in baseball. Yeah.
I didn't know sharks could nod.
I mean, they communicate, they just don't speak.
Right. Body language, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't make any noise. So, that's Lester and Fisher. 30 minutes later, and a half mile away, 14-year-old Joseph Dunn was blissfully unaware of the events of Wyckoff Dock and was also swimming in Matawan Creek.
Joseph Dunn.
Dun. Dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Did you think we were done for the day?
I hate it. Stop it.
Yeah. He was swimming, got bit on his left leg.
Sure.
His mother and a friend grabbed Joseph and played tug of war with the shark.
Oh.
Unclear. I couldn't figure out if the mother and the friend were like also in the water or like in a boat. Like I couldn't figure out how far off shore they were, but supposedly they like played tug of war over his body. And they were able to free him from the shark's jaws. Run him to the hospital, and he actually recovered and was released 2 months later. So he is the only survivor in the string of shark attacks.
Okay.
So that was number five.
Okay.
So it was three in 1 day.
Damn.
So now, after this day in Matawan Creek, people aren't just like panicked. They are furious. They are terrified, and they are out for blood. the residents of Matawan Creek, or the Matawan rather, lined the creek with nets and then just began blindly detonating dynamite in the creek.
As you do.
I think they were just like, the netting was probably, I guess, to trap the shark in the creek if it was still there. And then they were just like throwing dynamite and hoping the shark would just like turn belly up. But they didn't get it. Surprise, surprise, that technique did not work.
Did we learn nothing from whales?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the whales is after this.
Mm. Did they learn nothing from sharks?
Accurate.
The mayor of Matawan, he had the local newspaper print a wanted poster.
Walls.
For the shark.
Amazing.
He offered $100, which today is $2,400. To whoever could kill the shark in the creek, which is, I feel like we're starting to get a little kooky here. Like,
yeah.
You're putting a wanted poster for a shark.
Kill the beast.
Let's reflect for a moment.
That's what they did in Jaws.
It is what they did in Jaws, I guess. But no sharks were ever captured in Matawan.
So it's still at large?
At this point in time, it is still at large.
Oh, dear.
Resort communities along the Jersey Shore petitioned the federal government to step in and help the shark hunt. President Woodrow Wilson actually arranged a cabinet meeting to discuss this matter.
Sure.
And the Treasury Secretary suggested mobilizing the Coast Guard. Unclear if they actually did mobilize the Coast Guard, but it was at least something that they discussed. And the House appropriated $5,000 to deal with the shark problem, which today is $120,000.
Damn.
That's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
To go hunt sharks.
There were a lot of lives.
Yeah. I guess if you put it that way, five lives, $120,000, it's not enough.
Nope.
It's not enough.
Never enough. Never. You will never be enough.
Never. The governor of New Jersey and many local governments were offering bounties to shark hunters. So people were just now just like, all these like armed boats are going out trying to hunt the sharks at this point. And hundreds of sharks are caught and killed off the East Coast at this time in what is described as, quote, the largest scale animal hunt in history.
Did they know about the emus?
I don't know. I was just going to ask that. I'm like, how large a scale animal hunt was that? How do you, what is...
Yeah, how do they, is it the number of people involved in the hunt or the number of target animals?
Well, I mean, regardless, there were more people involved because what, in Australia, it was like
three.
And the number of animals killed, they killed hundreds of sharks and I killed like six emus.
Mm.
So I think this was larger than the emu hunt.
Or maybe more successful.
I mean,
because there were like hundreds of thousands of emus that they were targeting. They just weren't very good at the hunt.
Yeah, at this point in time, I don't know. I think they're just, they are operating under the assumption that it's one shark, I think. Or they just, I'm not sure if they're, actually, I don't know that. I don't know if they're thinking it's one shark and they're trying to kill the one shark.
So they didn't stop after one
Or if they're just killing
shark.
All sharks. No, they got as many sharks as they could. They killed hundreds of sharks. Little side story. Actress Gertrude Hoffman, don't know what she was in, never heard of her, but she claimed that after the third attack, shortly thereafter, she said that she was at Coney Island and she encountered a shark. And she had read a New York Times article about sharks that advised swimmers that they could scare off a shark by splashing. So she beat the water furiously, quote unquote, and was not attacked.
Doesn't that attract them?
Oh. Well, that was my thought. I'm like, is that good advice? Like, doesn't splashing make you seem like a fish in distress or something?
A seal in distress? A wounded seal?
A wounded seal? A wounded fish?
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, they didn't know that back then. They didn't know shit about sharks back then.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Hoffman later admitted that she was, quote, not sure whether she had her trouble for nothing or if she had barely escaped death. So pretty much she admitted she wasn't sure if there was even a shark at all.
Okay.
So like, cool story, bro. She just like was in the water and got panicked and started splashing.
She was splashing. And that's the end.
Yes.
Okay.
So great. Her story is I was in the water. I felt panicked. I splashed around and then I was fine.
And then I found $5.
And then she found $5.
Great.
Which is nothing to her because she's an actress. Mm. In today's money. No, I didn't. I'm not going to do that.
No, thank you.
I'm going to do a segment that's going to be like, And then in 2019, they bought a house for X amount of money. And in today's money...
I like it.
It's less.
I support it.
So you may be wondering, did we get the shark? Well,
sounds like we did not.
Maybe.
There's no way to know.
On July 14th, 4 days after the final attacks, a man named Michael Schlesher,
Schlesher,
who was a Barnum and Bailey's lion tamer, which is totally unrelated to anything, but an interesting little factoid. He caught a shark while fishing in the Raritan Bay, which is just a few miles away from the mouth of the Mattawan Creek. He said that the shark like nearly destroyed his little fishing boat in the process. He needed a bigger boat. but he managed to kill the shark with a broken oar. I don't know how.
Super cash.
NBD. I just stabbed it in the face with an oar.
Okay.
Later, he cut open the shark's belly and removed 15 pounds of, quote, suspicious fleshy material and bones, which were later determined to be human remains.
Ooh.
This shark was a young great white. I read multiple articles about it. It was either 7.5 or 8.5 feet long, somewhere in that range. And it was 325 pounds. And after this shark was captured, no other attacks occurred that summer. So Murphy and Lucas, the ornithologists, declared that this was the Jersey man-eater. Nichols, the actual ichthyologist, and Lucas concluded that all of these attacks were from a single, quote, rogue shark heading northward that would have eventually reached Jamaica Bay, New York. So the shark was like on a summer road trip. He had an itinerary. He was on his way to New York.
Got a playlist.
Yeah. Obviously.
He was just jamming out and just, you know, stopping at rest stops along the way to get some chow.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. So they claimed that it was just one single shark. The shark was caught. I mean, that's certainly better for the optics, right?
Sure.
There were skeptics, though. So one Long Island man wrote to the New York Times. Why the New York Times is posting this shit, I don't know. But the New York Times published this.
Okay.
Quote, having read with much interest the account of the fatality off Spring Lake, New Jersey, I should like to offer a suggestion somewhat at variance with the shark theory. Scientists believe it unlikely that a shark was responsible, and lots of people believe it much more likely that the attack was made by a sea turtle.
Oh.
Come on. Come on.
A deadly sea turtle.
How many sea turtle attacks are there documented in history?
I want to like sue for libel on behalf of the sea turtles.
Right?
But this would make a great sci-fi movie.
A giant sea turtle eating people.
Sure.
Biting their legs off. He goes on, scientists have spent much time at sea and along shore, and several times have seen sea turtles large enough to inflict such wounds. These creatures are of a vicious disposition, and when annoyed, are extremely dangerous to approach. And it is a common theory that Bruder may have disturbed one while it was asleep on or close to the surface. Bruder was the first guy, or second guy, one of the first two. So his theory is that it's a giant sea turtle.
That's outrageous. That's out fucking outrageous.
Liz, as the marine biologist, are there sea turtles big enough to eat a human leg?
With a lot of little chomps.
She told us she's a microbiologist.
How much time do they have?
Sea turtles are smaller than sharks. I don't know how this is supposed to comfort anyone. Like, does it make you feel any better to be like, oh no, he wasn't eaten by a shark, he was eaten by a sea turtle? Like, it doesn't make you feel any better about going in the water, does it?
That just makes me feel like I have an additional predator.
There's still something out there eating me.
Yeah, that just makes me feel like now do I not only have to worry about sharks, but I have to worry about sea turtles, which up until now were totally fine. Like, you're just adding a predator to the list.
I'm not less afraid of sharks. I'm more afraid of sea turtles now. Thank you, sir.
Exactly.
Another skeptic wrote into the New York Times suggesting that sharks had been driven in by German U-boats off the East Coast. This is like around World War I time.
Jesus Christ.
So he said, these sharks may have devoured human bodies in the waters of the German war zones and then followed the liners to this coast or even followed the Deutschland herself, expecting the usual toll of drowning men, women, and children. This would account for their boldness and their craving for human flesh. So pretty much they got used to eating humans that were on boats that were sank by Germany. Therefore, now they're craving human flesh and came to the U.S. seeking it.
Okay. They are unlikely to bite you, but turtles can if they feel danger. Their bites are very dangerous and painful.
Can it bite off your leg?
I suppose if they were a big enough turtle. Did you know that there used to be a 13-foot turtle? It's extinct now, obviously. But that's crazy. That's a huge fucking
13
turtle.
13 feet?
Yeah, the Archelon.
That's nearly three Tracys.
Oh my God. One sea captain at the time, who had witnessed the first attack, believed that the shark was a Spanish shark that was pushed northward from the Caribbean by the bombings during the Spanish-American War. For those of you who, like me, that did not remember when the Spanish-American War happened.
Not then.
It
not
was
then.
1898.
Yeah.
So in his series of events, the shark
has been chilling for 20 years,
was confused by explosions in the water in 1898, and then therefore was lost at sea for 18 years until he made his way to New Jersey and ate a bunch of people.
It just seems unlikely.
It's plausible. It could happen.
All right.
He's lost and confused and very hungry.
Okay. All right. Well, then I don't feel bad. Well, then I feel bad for him. Like, we should give him some snacks that aren't people.
Oh, he got his snacks.
Yeah.
Today, researchers still haven't actually reached a consensus as to, like, what kind of shark was responsible or how many sharks there actually were. So, like, some agree with Murphy and Lucas that it was this one rogue great white. But others think it was more likely a bull shark. Bull sharks are known to swim from the ocean into freshwater, like rivers and streams, whereas great whites don't do this. They're strictly an oceanic species.
Ah.
Bull sharks are also known to be aggressive and confrontational. And while they're uncommon in New Jersey, they are more common than great white sharks are in New Jersey.
Okay.
And people say that Joseph Dunn's, the last victim, his wounds were supposedly more consistent with a bull shark than a great white. Says who, based on what, I don't know, but that's something I read.
Based on the bird specialists?
Right, the ornithologist said that. No, they were the ones who were like, no, it was this one great white that we caught. We caught him, it's done, the end. So later examination of the creek, Matawan Creek, showed that its salinity was closer to that of a marine bay, though. So, and it was around the time of the full moon, which apparently can more than double the salinity of the water for a few hours before high tide. Liz, can you confirm this?
Yeah, that seems plausible.
Okay, yeah. So apparently, at this point in time, the water could have been more like ocean water. So it is possible that a small great white could have, like, entered and survived there long enough to eat a bunch of people and then leave.
Okay.
Some think that it's improbable that it was a single shark, because, like, one researcher said that it was a, quote, shark year, because fishermen and sea captains were reporting to see, like, hundreds of sharks in the mid-Atlantic region at this time. So, like, what are the odds that it was just, like, one hungry, angry rogue shark?
Sure.
Side note, we've had dolphins in the Potomac, like, near D.C.
What? I knew that.
Why? How? What? Can dolphins go into freshwater?
It's,
well,
like,
I mean, I wouldn't call the Potomac fresh. But it certainly is not ocean water.
This region is, if you experience a tide, well, I guess that's not true because there's, like, the Great Lakes and things like that that are fresh. But, like, we're near enough the coast that we are still, our rivers tidally influenced, which means that it does have fresh and salt influences. So, like, it rises and goes down with the tides, just like it does on the coast. So that brings in fresh water, or that brings in salt water and flushes out fresh water.
Oh.
And like in the right circumstances, you can get certain types of species making their way a little bit further up.
Interesting. I don't know why they would want to go there, but good for you, dolphins. That's pretty cool. Since the shark attacks of 1916, scientists have kind of changed their tune about sharks. One ichthyologist afterwards wrote that some shark species are harmless as doves, but others are the incarnation of ferocity. One of the most prodigious and perhaps the most formidable of sharks is the man-eater, Carcharodon carcharius, Charizard, the great white.
Great.
It roams through temperate and tropical seas, and everywhere is an object of dread. Maximum length is 40 feet, and its teeth are 3 inches long. No fucking thank you.
Yeah, strong pass.
Yeah, no. Nichols and Murphy wrote, the great white is perhaps the rarest of all noteworthy sharks. You know, some sharks are not noteworthy. Their habits are little known, but they are said to feed to an extent on big sea turtles. Judging from their physical makeup, it would not hesitate to attack a man in open water. So like a complete 180 from what they had said before. Like before, right. They're like, I can't imagine a shark would ever attack a human. Now they're like, oh, it's totally plausible. Like obviously it's going to attack a human if it sees it.
Yeah.
And the general public also changed their attitude about sharks. People started thinking of sharks as like these man-eating, evil killing machines. Cartoonists were depicting sharks as the symbol of like all things evil or dangerous.
Just anything a from smear like, campaign.
Yeah, like
sharks.
They would like make these like political cartoons and depict like anything from like a politician to like polio as a shark. Like anything that's bad or evil is like a shark. So now sharks are just like misunderstood.
No.
And as we alluded to much earlier, Peter Benchley published Jaws in 1974, which Steven Spielberg then turned into his classic movie a year later.
Yep.
The movie actually references the shark attacks of 1916. Uh-huh. I didn't remember this, but the character Brody at one point says, quote, there's no limit to what he's going to do. I mean, we've already had 3 incidents, 2 people killed inside a week, and it's going to happen again. It happened before. The Jersey Shore, 1916, 5 people chewed up on the surf. So they like directly reference this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's in the book or not, but it's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, a lot of people believe that this heavily inspired the book. I couldn't find word if like the author himself ever confirmed this. So, but I mean, I feel like it's got to be, right? It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's like the exact same fucking story.
Yeah.
So over time, people's fascination with sharks has grown, giving us Shark Week, Left Shark, and of course, Baby Shark. Yes. And shark bait.
Boo-ha-ha.
And sharks with lasers.
Baby shark is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gone downhill. Went from donut to stupid fucking baby shark thing.
Baby shark.
Fucking hate it. Fucking hate it. So yeah. Those are the shark attacks of New Jersey in 1916 that changed everything in regards to sharks. Huh. Our understanding of sharks, our attitude toward sharks. Baby sharks.
Well, if you can't get enough of these horrific shark attack stories, you can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio.
I will murder you, Steph.
Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a review. Literally the worst. I'm not doing that again. So.
Okay, bye. We're on social media. Bye.
Yeah.
And our emails.
I hate it. This is the worst.
We're also on Patreon. So head on over to Patreon, check out the different tiers we have so you can understand some of our inside goats. I said inside goats. Inside jokes. Guys, I can't concentrate.
Oh. You don't say.
Head on over to Patreon and please give us money. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Liz, end the recording.